Cheer for Michael Gilmore. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, thanks, Patrick.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Very blessed to be here. So, Taylor, I'm going to sit back in the chair tonight. Is that all right with you? So many technical things. It's like being a newscaster. And it's going to rain tonight, so, you know, please turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 10. Very, very blessed to be here and to share some of God's word today. What a tremendous, tremendous privilege we have to have believers like you, that we can fellowship one with another. We pray for each other. We truly care about each other. What a great, great environment to be in with people who love each other. This is just such a blessing. You know, this is the way God wanted us to live. We're not perfect. We know that. Well, maybe some of you are. But what we have is what God gave us, and what we have in this administration is the best that was ever available to anybody. So my gosh, how blessed we are. And then you add on top of that the freedoms that we enjoy, the prosperity that we have, the prosperity that we have, just such blessings that we have in our lives. And don't ever let the world talk you out of the wonderful blessing that you have, that there's people around you that want more or want more or throw things in your face. Don't ever talk yourself out. You've got God's word. You've got everything that anybody else in this world should want in their life, because we have full, complete lives with what God has made us in Christ. You know, last week, for those of you that heard it, J.M. shared in Acts, and he shared chapter 2 and chapter 3. And Patrick asked me to do something in Acts. I never refuse teaching in Acts, but we're going to pick up starting in chapter 10. But before we do, I just want to kind of fill in the gap between chapter 2 and 3 and 10. So we believe that Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, happened around 28 AD, right? And so after Jesus Christ had been resurrected, ascended, the day of Pentecost came, and then J.M. went over the experience after Pentecost, those days following, in which the believers were together. It said they had all things common. It said the believers there went from house to house, that they were blessing each other and blessing God, and that God was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. What a tremendous, tremendous thing. And then J.M. went into the next chapter, chapter 3, and he showed there about the miracles that had happened. Signs, wonders happened, all as a result of the receiving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. What an incredible time to live in. Something that people in the Old Testament could only look forward to and not ever have themselves. And there's also a part that we're going to talk about a little bit tonight, something that the people in the Old Testament didn't even know about, and that's the mystery. So between Acts chapter 2 and 3 and a little bit of 4 that J.M. covered last week, to Acts chapter 12, a lot of things happened. In Acts chapter 12, we know the next date that we could pin from history was the death of Herod Agrippa I, which was in 44 AD, right? So 28 AD, Pentecost, 44 AD, we're in Acts chapter 12, okay? And then we realize that here we have this period of time between Acts chapters 2, 3, and 4, and Acts chapter 10 that we're going to look at tonight. Only Judeans had received God's word. Only Judeans, from all we can tell from the scriptures, only Judeans had heard, got born again, spoke in tongues. Only Judeans. in chapter 6, it talks about the Grecians, but the Grecians in chapter 6 that it's talking about are the Greek-speaking Jews, right? They're not Judeans. I mean, they're not Gentiles. And then, of course, Acts chapter 8 is when Philip goes down to Samaria, and the Samaritans were also Judeans, but they were Judeans that had kind of married into non-Judean families. So they were really not well-liked by the true blue-blood Judeans, right? Talk about prejudice, guys. Our day and time, we talk about black and white and the LMNOP people, I call them. I never can get all those letters straight of all of the strange lifestyles that are out there. We think we have it bad. But back then, the separation between Judean and Gentile was absolutely huge. We just can't really fathom how bad it was. And we have nothing like it today. I want you to realize that. This was the culture into which the Holy Spirit was inserted on the day of Pentecost, okay? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 10. We talked about Philip in Acts chapter 8. He went to Samaria. And then here in Acts chapter 10, we have Peter going to the Gentiles. And guess what it took for it to get to the Gentiles? It took God. It took God himself acting in order to get this to happen. By the way, God wants his word to move more than we do, right? So, you know, we think we're great. We speak God's word to people, and we should. And God depends on us to do that. But don't ever estimate what God can do. Look at the crazy things he does here. Verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea, that's up on the coast north of Jerusalem, called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Verse 2, and a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. So here's this dude. Is he a Judean? No. He is a Gentile. As they say, sometimes the Gentiles were considered dogs to the Judeans. Like I told you, the separation was something we just don't even have today. So stark between the Judeans and the Gentiles. There's reasons for it, but that's the culture that we're in here, okay? But here was this Gentile, and he was devout. He loved God. His whole family was into God. Verse 3, he saw in a vision, evidently, you know, clearly, about the ninth hour of the day, this is in the afternoon, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius, but here's an angel. God sends an angel to this guy. Well, God can do that. I've seen angels. I don't know about you, but they're out there. They are one way by which God can communicate to us. Verse 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid. That I get. He never seen one before. And it says, and he said, what is it, Lord? And he said, thy prayers and thy alms. Alms are like your charity that you do sort of prayerfully to God, okay? How you help others. Are come up from a memorial before God. So he said, God hears you, Cornelius. Now, isn't that something that most people in the world wish that they had was a sign or something from God that he hears them? Well, guys, that's something you never need because we speak in tongues. You cannot speak in tongues without God. You cannot. It's impossible to speak in tongues. You ever ask one of your friends that isn't a believer to do it? They can't. They can't do it. I've tried it. I tried it with all my high school friends. I said, okay, speak in tongues. They're like, what do you mean? I said, yeah, you speak another language. They go, well, we don't know another language. I said, no, go ahead, speak in tongues. Just like make something up and see how good it sounds. It was terrible. It was terrible. You can't do it. It's impossible. That is proof that God hears you when you pray, okay? It's proof. I lost my place. Good Lord, this is going to be a long night. What verse? Thank you, Linda. I'm glad we brought Linda with us today. Verse 5. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. So he did exactly what he was told to do by the angel. The next day, verse 9, they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Sixth hour is around noon. Okay? So here's Peter. He'd been out there doing whatever he did for the Lord. And he comes home and he goes up to the housetop to pray. It's around noontime and he's hungry. Verse 10, he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, it says he fell into a trance. Fell into a trance, you'll read later, is called a vision later. The word trance, I'm not going to spend much time on it tonight, but the word trance in the Bible is like amazement. It's amazement. He fell into this amazement because you'll see what God shows him. Verse 11. And he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. Now that's weird. He's got a little trip, no drugs involved here. God is taking him on a little trip, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. Now that's something. What a vision. And verse 13, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill, and eat. He was hungry, right? So here's this voice from heaven. Here's this freaking thing in front of him with all these animals and everything. And he says, rise, Peter, kill, and eat. What do you think Peter's going to do? Verse 14, Peter said, okay, I'll do exactly what you say, God. No, not Peter. Verse 14, Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that's common or unclean. Common or unclean. The Old Testament told them what they could eat and what they couldn't eat. And certain things were clean, certain things were not clean. Like stuff in the ocean that didn't have fins, not clean. You know, there's like all these things that were clean and not clean. And so that's what Peter knew, because he had been a Judean. He knew the law. And he said, I never, are you kidding me? But God's telling him in a vision, Peter, kill and eat. He goes, no, Lord, I'm sorry. I ain't doing that. And then in verse 15, the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Verse 16, this was done three times. Three times. Peter was a stubborn dude. Three times he's getting the word from God, and he's still having a problem with it. Well, we're not going to read this whole record, but let's go down to verse 24. So anyway, these guys come from Cornelius, and here God does this spectacular thing, props and everything that God does, angels, lights, cameras, you know, the whole deal, just to get this idea into Peter's head that he's not to call something common or unclean. Verse 24, the next day on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, these are those dudes, and Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and near friends. So Peter finally follows these guys. They go up to Cornelius's house, and there's Cornelius. He's not surprised. The angel had told him what to do. So Cornelius, what did he do? He gets all his friends and family together. And Peter, verse 25, was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in. And they found many that were come together. Verse 28. And he said unto them, you know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation? According to the Jews, they were not to keep company at all. They were not to see, They were not to be in the house. They were not allowed to eat with somebody who was not a Judean. And then it says, but God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Guys, this is Acts chapter 10. Remember I told you Pentecost was 28 AD? We don't know exactly when this is, but sometime between 28 and 44, just two chapters later, is when this happened. So this is a while after Pentecost, and these Judeans still are totally keeping themselves away from Gentiles. God's desire was for all people who could to believe. All people who wanted to could receive. The Jews never got that far, even here until chapter 10. Therefore, verse 29, came I unto you without gainsaying. Kind of a fib, really. He had a little argument with God, remember? It took three times. But maybe he didn't argue with the guys that came to get him. As soon as I was sent for, and I asked therefore for what intent you. And then Cornelius gave him the whole story. He told him exactly what happened, all right? He said that he was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house at 3 o'clock, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged in a house of one Simon. He tells him the whole story, right? He tells him exactly what happened right down the line. Verse 33, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Peter saw all the things that God did. Not only did God do the whole act there with all the animals and everything for Peter up on the housetop, he also sent an angel over to Cornelius. He was working this whole thing. Think of the synchronization that God had to think through, right? Okay, here's Caesarea up here. Here's Joppa. I forget. It's like 30 or 40 miles south, okay? So it's that city today called Jaffa. Jaffa is that city, right? So here's Cornelius up here. Here's these guys down here. He sends the guys down. God had to work this whole thing out that Peter just gets the vision and the animals and the whole thing, and the guys are at the door. And then they get back here. Cornelius is all set with the people for him to speak the word to them. A lot God had to put together. He said he saw he wasn't a respecter of persons, verse 35. But in every nation, nation is not Judean, every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Let's go down to verse 44. While Peter yet spake, so Peter starts teaching them God's word. Peter starts teaching them, and this is what happens. While he's still speaking these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. Verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. And many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And that did it for them. That did it for them. Now they finally realize there's no question about it. These Gentiles, these people that we do not like, these Gentiles are born again of God's Spirit. The dogs, the people they don't like, the LBGTQ, WXYZs, all of the people, the separations, the whites and the blacks and the Asians and the, you know, whatever you want, that we like to separate ourselves with today. They spoke in tongues. There was nothing that those Judeans could say against. Go to chapter 11. So they get back to Jerusalem, verse 1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. They heard that they received. The word received in that verse is the word dekomai. Those of you that have taken the foundational class, you remember there's the two different words for receive, the two basic ones. Dekomai, to receive subjectively. Lambano is the word when they receive objectively, in other words, into manifestation. So what did the Judeans heard? They heard that they'd received the word of God. They didn't hear yet that they had manifested Holy Spirit. And then it says, verse 2, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. They fought with him. Here Peter is out doing what God wants him to do. He gets back to the leaders of the church, and what do? They fight with them. They fight with them. I'm telling you, this was a deep-seated thing for these guys. They just couldn't get their minds wrapped around that God would reach out to the Gentiles and they could have Holy Spirit. There's another piece they haven't even considered yet. Verse 3, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. Horrible. How could you do that, Peter? That's what they said. So, I mean, it's kind of funny to us, but just imagine. I don't know. Think of cockroaches. Anybody like cockroaches? No? Okay, good. All right, so let's think of cockroaches, right? Chelsea, you don't have a lot of cockroaches where you live, probably, right? We have more down here. Yeah. Anyway, cockroaches. Just think that we could, accept cockroaches in our fellowship. You know, right on that table, right there, walking along there. You can't do anything about it, Patrick. Kind of disgusting, right? Kind of like for these guys. Turn to verse 12. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me. How wise it was that he brought six other Judeans, or they never would have believed Peter. Verse 13. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee these words, whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. He said, remember Pentecost, guys? You were there. Remember? That happened to us. That's what happened here. It happened to Gentiles. And they're all like, oh my God, how the hell did this happen? How did this happen? Verse 16. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? I mean, seriously, if it's God's word, it's God's word. You know, tonight in manifestations, God told us some awesome, wonderful things about his care for us, about what he'll do for us, about what we can do as believers in living for him. Who are we that we withstand God, that we don't believe those words that he told us tonight? This is God's word. It's more true than what you see, hear, smell, taste, or touch. More true than any kind of thing you can conceive in your own mind or mind. Who are we that we can withstand God? He gave us his word. Our choice when we have God's word is believe it or don't. That's it. Those are our choices. Verse 16, he remembered that. Verse 17, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, these are all the leader dudes at their headquarters in Jerusalem, they held their peace. They shut up. They quit contending with them. And for a moment, it says, they glorified God, saying, oh, well, then I guess God hath also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. They couldn't refuse it. You see that? But there was a rift in the church, because here now there are these people they don't like, and they're now part of the church. Big deal. Matter of fact, it never fully got resolved in the first century. Go to chapter 15, please. Chapter 15. Verse 1. And certain men, so I'll tell you what happened in between. So in between Paul, he goes to Antioch and they move the word there. And then people start coming up to Antioch from Jerusalem, teaching people that they had to be circumcised. So you Gentiles, I'm sorry, okay, maybe you're part of the club, sort of, but you have to get circumcised because that's what we did as Jews. We had to do that. So they come up, and so Peter and all those guys in Jerusalem, this is the message that somebody sent up to Antioch. So it says, certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Just like today, there's churches, unless you get sprinkled, other churches dunked, other churches, other kinds of stuff you have to do, right? You can't get saved. All men's ideas. Verse 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they were just there a few years ago, weren't they? And here Peter had said to them, these same guys, remember? And then they said they held their peace. And they said, oh, we'll glorify God because, yes, the Gentiles also could get born again. We just read it. Well, here are these same guys. And they have dissension and disputation with them. And no small dissension. They had a big fight. They had a big fight. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. So they fought about it and they sent them to Jerusalem to resolve it. Well, they did go to Jerusalem and it didn't work out so great, except that finally they conceded and they said, all right, we'll send letters up to these guys saying, you guys are okay, you Gentile people. Just don't eat things that are strangled, okay? And then we'll let you in the club again. That was the thing that they said to them. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. You know, everything wasn't just rainbows and lemonade back then in the first century either. There was all kinds of stuff going on. We got real things in our lives today. They are real. But this stuff that we read in the Bible, don't pass it off as just a story. These are the things that happened in the first century. This is the environment into which the word moved in the first century church. Now, one thing that they didn't recognize on the day of Pentecost was that besides getting born again of God's Spirit, which they did, and they spoke in tongues, that it was God's will also that they knew that there would be one body of Christ. And now you get to Galatians chapter 2, and here even Peter is still messed up about the law and the Gentiles. Chapter 2 of Galatians, where do I want to start? Let's start in verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Peter was like the big dude in the church, you know, came. He said, I withstood him to the face. I said, Peter, you are wrong, because he was to be blamed. Verse 12. For before that certain came from James again, you know, these guys were considered the pillars of the church. These were the heads, the big dudes, the reverends, you know. He did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come to, let me read that again. For before that certain came from James, he, Peter, did eat with the Gentiles. Okay, that's good. You know, maybe he learned something after all of this. But when they that were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So his buddies from Jerusalem come up to Antioch, and Peter quits eating with the Gentiles. Do you think the word got through to this guy's head? Apparently not. Apparently not. Do you see the deep-seated prejudice, the deep-seated separation that this guy had? Guys, you know, in our culture, we got things that separate us. But God forbid we ever get to a point like this. We are one body of Christ, and it doesn't matter if you have green hair or six toes. It really makes no difference whatsoever. We are part of one body of Christ. And here Peter came, and Paul saw that it was wrong. Verse 13. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with them. So they also separated themselves. Insomuch that Barnabas, who had been traveling with Paul, Barnabas took Paul under his wing, and they went to the Gentiles to speak the word, and even Barnabas was carried away in this whole thing. How deep-seated it was. Amazing. Isn't it amazing? Well, maybe not. It really takes some work for us to renew our minds to get rid of the cultural things that we have in our head from this world. Why it takes so much time, and it's worth it for us to continually put God's word in our minds, continually, and for us to keep reminding each other. And that's when I look at you guys, I get so very, very blessed, because we are living the mystery here. We are putting God's word first. We are not separating each other because of something. We love each other because we're each one of us part of the body of Christ, and how awesome that is. That's what God wanted. And we're not perfect, and I'm not saying we are. But this is what God wants. And these guys were screwed up, so Paul had to tell them, you're screwed up. And that's what we do in the church. We want to keep it right, keep it straight. And then the word moves like it did, like JM read last week. You know, thousands of people get into God's word. We haven't seen that yet. I'd still like to see that. Well, verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, Peter, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Here you were down whooping it up with the Gentiles, eating and drinking, and then the Jews come and you're trying to act like a Jew? What the hell's the matter with you? Give them the word straight up. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Two more scriptures I want to read. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians was written maybe about 20 to 30 years after the day of Pentecost, right? So we're only talking about a short period of time here, right? 20 or 30 years after the day of Pentecost was Ephesians written. And God gave to Paul the revelation of the mystery, which was in effect from the day of Pentecost. But it took this till this time for God to reveal it to Paul for people to be able to receive it. And look at this here. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, that sounds very academic. He's talking about the administration, all right, when we live now, all right, which is given me to you word. You know, so what he's saying in this verse, he's saying, look, I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ. I've made myself a servant of Jesus Christ. I've done that by my free will. He goes, I'm saying to you, you've heard that I have this administration of the grace of God to you. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. And then he goes on to say, whereby when you read, you can understand my knowledge of the mystery. So here it is. Here it is, folks. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And what is that? That the Gentiles, these people that the Jews hated, these people against which the Jews had tremendous prejudice, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, not just born again and speak in tongues, as amazing as that is, and that is amazing, not just that, Not just that. Wouldn't that have been enough? Good Lord. They'd know they're going to heaven. They'd know that they were going to heaven. Not just that. You Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Every single thing that any one of those Judean believers had, the Gentiles also had. That was a big deal. That was a cultural shift that those people, those Judean believers, just didn't see coming, and they didn't want to accept it. The thing about the one body of Christ, it's what God wants revealed in our day and time. It's how God wants us to live. The only reason that we have to have fellowships like this and we're not involved with all these other places all over the place is because we want to live the mystery. That's what separates us people. Yes, other people speak in tongues. Other people are born again. They do nice things for God, and I know they're very sincere and love people as much or more than we do. But God wants the mystery to be lived. God wants us to walk in one body, no separation, zero among us. You are as much as I am in everything that Christ did, and I as much as you. No difference, no separation. That's what God wanted. That's what we stand for as believers. Let's never let anything get in between us as believers, because it's what God did all this work for, to get us to this point that we could be one body, Jews and Gentiles. The last place I want to go is Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, back a little bit here, chapter 12. What a privilege, what a blessing that we have to have what we got. And we're not perfect, I know it. And we could see a lot more miracles and signs and wonders and healings and everything, and I think we're gonna. But look, let's just stay really fast, stand fast on this mystery, what God gave us. Yep, born again. Anyone who wants to can be a part of the body of Christ. And then in verse 25 of chapter 12, it says that there should be no schism. You know what a schism is? It's a split, a break. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. As God equally cares for every one of us and every one of the others of God's people, we should have the same care one for another. This is it. This is what God wanted, the way he wanted us to live. And so if Taylor has a need, all of us feel it. If Linda has a need, all of us feel it. All of us pray like we did today for Chelsea's leg, for your foot, Chelsea. We're praying for that as one body. This is the way the one body works. It's what God wanted, and we're part of that. So, you know, in Acts, they had the word of God, but culturally among the believers, just didn't quite see it that big. And there were pockets, there were places that did, but across the whole church, they just didn't get it. Across the Christian world right now, they certainly don't get it. It's still the laws and the rules and the regulations. But we got it. I don't know how, but the grace of God, somehow, this one little piece of God's word, we get it. Well, let's live that thing out, okay? Let's walk as one body of Christ.